So tonight we're going to look at Romans chapter 14, just a chapter of the Bible, Romans chapter 14, and that's the judgment chapter that everybody recognizes. And I was looking at that the last couple of days, and I thought, you know, this is worth teaching. I don't know if I get it all or not. There's a couple of really super super key verses in here. And amongst the brethren, which is what this is about, by the way, Romans 14 is about within the church family. And I know that as church families fall apart, and as some of the people in the churches don't want to fall apart and give in to their compromising and all that kind of stuff, then, and this is happening all over the nation, then somebody's going to be accusing somebody of judging them within the church family. Because it says right down there in verse, why does I judge their brother? And why dost thou set it not their brother? What's the problem here? Well, there's a serious problem here. Because this chapter is about verse 1, which is about doubt-filled disputations. This is not about the obvious things that are taking place in a church. This is not about the obvious lousy music. This is not about the lousy way ladies are starting to dress in church. This is not the lousy thing about the fact that men don't come to church anymore because they can find a way to get a job. Not picking on yours, because yours has to be, but different people do have to work. But this is not excusing some of the things that are taking place within the church, within the brethren, body of Christ, same thing, that are wrong with Paul's teachings. This isn't what this is about. This is about, look at verse 1, people that are weak in the faith, and it's about doubtful disputations. Not to get hung up on the little things that these people can't handle. That's what this chapter is about. So, don't let anybody take you to Romans chapter 14, verse 10, 11, 12. Yes, we all have a judgment seat of Christ coming up, no doubt. But don't let them use this on the things that are taking place within your own family. These are talking about the little things, which we'll see here in a couple of minutes. So, and here's what you do. I just read through the chapter a couple of million times, and I started to pull out some phrases that are worth a Bible study. And this is how I keep looking at the computer. Everybody's over there. This is how you come up with a series that takes about a month to get you through. You go through the chapter, you print it out, and you give spaces between the verses, and you start recognizing little phrases in there that are worth a study. For example, verse number 1, him that is weak in the faith. Okay, then you got doubtful disputations. Notice in verse 2, for one believeth he may eat all things, another eateth herbs. No, in another it says he's weak. It says he's weak. So you get into verse 3, we see that let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Then it says, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Two different words there. Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, with all the holidays coming up. This is a kicker verse. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, jump down to verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. If we could get the grip on that thing, then he says, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And again, this is doubtful disputations. This is not about immodesty. This is not about malice and anger coming out of the mouth. This is not about all the things that Paul tells us we ought not do and be and look like and places we ought not go and all this kind of stuff as Christians. And it's sad that this is becoming an issue in the church, that there are some things that are serious enough taking place in the church that they need to be called on in some form or another, either from the pastor's wife or, you know, or whatever kind of a deal. These are about the little things. So we can't go, I'll say it again, we can't go here and throw this at somebody if, look at verse 19. Are you getting my drift out there, folks? Because you'll see where this is going. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Okay? So, does that mean that within your church or within your family or within the brethren, keep in mind this is brethren, does that mean then you have to just put up with everything? No, this is not what this chapter is about. Okay, here we go. Back to verse 1. We may get at it all tonight, may not. I wrote off too tiny here. So we go back to verse 1, and we see here, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Okay, so we have people in our church family and our and the brethren that they're weak in the faith. Okay, so we have to be able to judge, be able to recognize that. And if that's the case, then these people can handle some of the little things that are taking place that can cause some problems. Now, first thing I looked at was, well, first it says weak in the faith. Anytime I see the faith, that I find that interesting. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. So what does it mean, weak in the faith? Romans chapter 4, 19. We see in Abraham, it says he was not weak in faith. So Abraham had faith. He was not weak in faith. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Abraham had a strong faith. Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence. So, we do have a faith. We have faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 7. 1 Timothy 2, 7. He says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Meaning what he believes or what he thinks will be the same thing. It's true. It's serious. So, now look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. These do not say in the faith, just in faith. But what he's saying in Romans chapter 14 is him that is weak in the faith. Okay, so we have someone who's a Christian. We have someone who has the faith of Christ. So if somebody has the faith of Christ, because that's what you have if you're a Christian, Romans 8, if you don't have the faith of Christ, you're not a Christian. I mean, Spirit of God, you get the faith of Christ. So how can somebody who is a brother be weak in the faith? Because if he is weak in the faith, there's no point of getting into these doubtful disputations. And a disputation, act of disputing, an argument, controversy in words, verbal contest respecting truth or some fact. What Paul teaches in Timothy and Titus and Thessalonians and some things in his other books, Romans and things, those are not disputations. There's nothing there to dispute. It's as plain as can be. Now, it's sad to think that somebody would take something fresh out of Titus and find an argument in there. There's no argument. And if somebody would just, if you get, I'm doing this for you folks out there on the website just as much as me or anybody else. If somebody pulls up into a discussion, they want to argue about something that is as plain as day as Titus chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I mean, there they are. There's nothing to dispute. The Bible says what it says. I'm hearing a bunch of amens ringing from the different parts of the country here because that's true. Am I not correct? That's what it says. There's no argument if you look at the King James Bible as a final authority. Now, that may become your issue. You may not be talking to somebody whose the Bible is their final authority. And you can get into that whole thing. But there's nothing to dispute. But he's going to show us some doubtful disputations here, and this is what we're talking about. So somebody who's weak in the faith cannot handle these things. And here's the list in this Romans chapter 14. So I better look up the verses because I have them here. I better make sure we have them. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Let's get back to our weak in faith, the weak in the faith thing. I wrote them down. We better look them up. I've got that hurriedness with me. I want to get through the whole cow again tonight, but maybe not. Maybe I can just give it, put it in the Institute stuff and finish it up later. Hebrews 11, 13. Going back to weak in the faith or just talking about in faith. So faith alone, you're from Southern Maryland. Oh, okay. Southern Maryland, yeah. That's a big state to have a north. I didn't even know if Maryland would have a north or a south. It's kind of like there it is. Okay, so Hebrews 11, 13. This is the great faith chapter. Look what it says in verse 13. These all died in faith. See, it doesn't say in the faith. There's a difference here. We want our kids to learn about these Old Testament characters, but we cannot ask our kids to model after them because what our kids grow up to and have nowadays is the faith of Christ. We need the faith of Christ. And in the Old Testament, these guys had to have faith. So, yeah, that's a good thing to study and a good thing to be strong about. But they had to have some pretty strong faith to stand in front of a bunch of hungry lions. I mean, that's pretty strong faith. But it says they died in faith. Okay, look at James chapter 1. See, we're looking at tribulation books. I don't believe these books are written to us, and that's what I preach. These books are not written to us. These are written to the people during the tribulation. They will have to have strong faith to not take the mark. Okay, James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith. That's believing it will be answered. That's the kind of faith we're talking about here. It's not the faith of Christ. And then look also in James chapter 2, verse 5. My beloved, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? So these people have faith. They're going to be strong in their faith. But that's not what we're talking about. We're looking, let's go back to Philippians chapter 1 now. We're looking at Romans 14:1. We're looking at those that are weak in the faith. How can somebody be weak in the faith when you've got the faith of Christ? Well, if we believe that we were anointed and we have that unction that people pray about, we have to remember that the only place that talks about being anointed, which means you have nothing, nobody can teach you anything because God has given it all to you. And that unction is the power that comes from God that when you're going to preach or teach or something, those are all in 1 John. Those are tribulational teachings. They don't come to us. So we have the faith of Christ. But if we don't do certain things, we can still be weak in the faith. We're in the faith. We're brethren. We're saved. Not a problem. But you're weak. And that weak person cannot handle a disputational, doubtful, questionable thing. And yet, I'm standing here doing this sermon here tonight, and I feel odd because I know some of the arguments that are going on in the churches are as plain as day. And that King James Bible says, don't do that. Don't go there. Why would you take your kids to that kind of an activity? Why would you even have to hang around those people that are doing that when Paul is very clear we are to avoid, withdraw from, and the whole thing? So what's happening here is we're taking Romans chapter 14 and we're merging this judgment fear that, you know, don't judge anybody because you've got your judgment seat coming up. No, the clear stuff we judge. It's this disputational stuff that just causes problems. Now, so how can somebody be weak in the faith? Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Well, very simple. This person is not growing in knowledge and in judgment. He is not able to approve things that are excellent. It just can't be done yet. So there's somebody who's weak in the faith. Not only can this person not handle the doubtful disputations, I'd be willing to tell you that this person can't even handle the obvious stuff that Paul teaches. This kind of a person probably can't even hardly differentiate between rightly dividing and anything else. So I'm going to go through some ways you can be weak in the faith, and maybe this is as far as we'll get tonight. But let's keep in mind that this could be part of the reason some people don't know what's going on anyway. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. What causes us to not be able to get this stuff if we say we really are a Christian? Let's say we really are the brethren. We truly are saved. And we might even have a little flick of rightly dividing to know that we don't have another Jesus and we're King James solid and all those things. But what would cause us to still be weak in that faith, in the faith? Well, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Okay, this faith is coming. We could still be weak in the faith because we're not even reading our Bibles. We're not hearing this stuff. Hearing what? By the Word of God. And I'd venture to say, as I think of different people here as I'm talking about this tonight, some of the difficulties we've had or will have, or people that are out there, they really aren't reading their Bible. We try to talk to people about rightly dividing, and we find out that they've never read their Bible. They've read verses in the Bible. The pastor has preached to them verses in the Bible. But they've never read the Bible to see where those verses fit. That's a very difficult way to deal with somebody. It's like helping somebody try to put a jigsaw puzzle together without the cover. This person may think that, well, this is a flower. This person may think, well, this is a gate handle. This looks like a nose on a horse. Well, where's the picture? I don't know. But if somebody pops up with a picture, we can see where those pieces fit. And it just makes it a whole lot easier. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Okay, otherwise you can't endure hardness. You can be that good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're not going to please Him who chose you to be a soldier because you're caught up in the affairs of this life. And we have to be, you're working, we have to do these things. But to get caught up into them, he just tells you that that's what we need not to do. So maybe somebody's just weak in the faith because they're just caught up in stuff that keeps them from hearing or reading their Bible. And they're not willing to make those judgment calls because it'll affect that the affairs of this life that they're involved with. And it is tough. It is tough. Let's go here to Titus chapter 1. People are weak in the faith without a shadow of a doubt, I believe, because in verse 11, or Titus chapter 1, verse, what is that number there? Where is it at here? Verse 14, they're just getting caught up in Jewish fables. And you try to show them something that's as a truth, based on rightly dividing, and they're caught up in this Jewish fable stuff. They're weak in the faith. I'd even challenge their faith to see if it's his or theirs, but now remember, we're talking about brethren here who are truly saved people. But if all they've been reading and studying is Jewish fables now, look at verse 13, chapter 2. Those Jewish fables can confuse them. And they're not capable of handling doubtful disputations. The frustrating thing for me is they're not even capable of handling the obvious stuff anymore. It just puzzles me. Okay, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why would somebody be weak in the faith? They're not even looking forward to that. There's people that aren't looking for that blessed hope. They probably don't think He's coming. They've given up on that whole thing. Thanks to the preachers and the pastors in the last 15, 20 years that dated the fact that the Lord's coming, and then He didn't. So they kind of come to the realization, I don't think He's coming at all. But if you're not looking, you got a crown of righteousness waiting for you if you love His appearing. So if you're not even looking for that, looking for Him to come, I know a lot of people are looking to disappear, but we're supposed to be looking for the appearing, happy to see Him kind of a thing. I'll just look at some more here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. How can somebody be weak in the faith? Well, it doesn't take somebody very long these days to get a hold of a King James Bible and somebody comes along and they witness to them and they get saved and all that stuff and they a couple sermons here and they hear about Paul, they get all excited and they get on Pal Talk, for example, and they look at our sermons, they like the sermons and it's very interesting, and then they look at this Christian room and they go up there and they find a bunch of other guys that are talking about Pal Talk. Or talking about Paul on Pal Talk, different rooms. And before you know it, one guy sounds really scholarly because he's got a lot of Greek involved here. One guy's got his sermons going all the time. So a guy can get in there more and listen to these more. One guy sounds really intelligent because he's always talking about how you figure out the book of Acts. You get another Paul guy in there, and maybe he's just got this right kind of radio voice, you know, and I'll pray for you out there, folks, if you just call me. And these people sucker into that Pal Talk stuff, And just like Paul says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. How could this happen? Well, you were weak in the faith. You didn't stand in this. You didn't get into this book. You were probably told how to be saved, and you were probably told that Paul's the man to follow. And here's what you need to read. You need to read the book of Proverbs, and you need to read the book of John. Well, you get into the book of John, and you got the born-again stuff. You get into the book of John, and you got things he's talking to his disciples about. And then you get into, if you're not careful, you get him into Mark. And before you know it, this guy's big on the Great Commission. So he's weak in the faith. He's easily distracted. That's what we have here. Look at Colossians chapter 2. These are just bunny trails. This is not bunny trails. These are just a bunch of verses that tell us how can somebody be weak in the faith. We got time tonight to get through these. This is probably the thing that concerns me the most, because if you're trying to do something right, trying to make some changes, you're going to be up against probably somebody who's weak in the faith. That's just probably what you're going to be up against. And when you get up against somebody who is trapped in the corner, what usually happens when you get a nice friendly animal trapped in the corner? They just don't want to be trapped in the corner. They start getting angry and they start spitting their venom. And it doesn't matter whatever it is they have, they'll fight back with whatever it is they've got. And that's too bad, because this is what's going on. I just know this is what's going on. If we look at where'd I have you turn here? Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. How could that happen in the King James Church? How could that happen to King James brethren? Well, very easily. There's so many King James programs out there that are nothing but philosophy. And it's just vain deceit. They're trying to make you feel good about you being a Christian. And there's a lot of ways to be joyful and to feel good about being a Christian if you're understanding Paul. And I really mean understanding Paul. Knowing that when you're losing your gooner or whatever, you've still got what you've got. But I see booklet after booklet after booklet that is nothing but philosophy of how to use the Bible to make somebody's flesh feel better. Did we say that even Sunday morning about comfort our hearts? And all the churches, the pastors, the materials, the programs are there to comfort our flesh. They're trying to comfort the old nature, the old man. And I suppose there's a reason for that, because over the time, maybe a lot of our Bible-believing churches that had a bunch of saved people have now got a bunch of people in there that have another Jesus, and they're feeding their flesh and making their flesh happy, which is what another Jesus will do. And the real Jesus isn't into making your flesh happy. And Paul is not into making your flesh happy. So maybe there's a lot of that taking place. But anyway, trying to talk to somebody who's weak in the faith, they probably got more psychology and vanity and tradition of men in there trying to help them. Here's how it worked for Aunt Abel and Aunt Mabel, and here's how it worked for me. And when I was a kid, all this kind of stuff. No, let's throw that stuff out and let's see what Paul would have us to do. Well, it doesn't fit in this world to do that. Well, can we try? Can we at least try with God's grace? Try to do it God's way. That's okay. But let's not fall into this trap because you're weak in the faith. And what you find out is you can't even talk to him about it. I mean, you can't even talk to him about it. Let's go here to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's another one. Now, this I'm going to work on the Paul guys on this one. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We see in Paul chapter 3, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that's the first book of Paul. And it's actually 2 Timothy 3 is what I want. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all sorts of verses in there. We see that 1 through 9, here's just this modern Christian. So if somebody's caught up on all this stuff, let's get over the fact that it's either now or tomorrow. Whether this is, whenever this is, okay, can't even. Whatever this is, I believe it's a futuristic thing, but it's still talking, we're seeing more of it today. So who cares when it is? We're seeing these things take place today, more and more. So these people cannot handle doubtful disputations. These people can't even handle the chunks. But if we get to verse 10, here's my point, up to verse 10. There's some good stuff there. We'll go over that all the time. But verse 10 says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, and afflictions." See, the reason people can't handle these little things is because they don't even know Paul's manner of life. We do not fully know Paul's manner of life. We do not know Paul's doctrine fully. Because if the conversation that I've heard, we understand the Paul's doctrine and the manner of life, and I'm serious, the manner of life, we wouldn't be having the arguments that we have. And this doubtful disputation stuff, I'm just trying to bring this weak in faith, showing us not only do we have people today that are weak in the faith and can't handle doubtful disputations, they can't even handle the obvious stuff. They're weak in the faith. Let's look at a couple more here. Let's look at Romans. Same thing. Go down to verse 15. He says, "And that from a child," in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." How many of our children have grown up not knowing the Scriptures, not knowing Paul's division? They may not understand it yet, but they can at least learn them. Well, I don't want my kids to learn them because they don't like that and they're not happy and they're kind of bored with the church. No, let's get over all of that stuff. Let's make them learn Paul's divisions. Let's make them learn these verses. So when the time comes, when they get into the 20s, when the snooker up there finally puts some gel up there, then they'll understand it and then they will have learned this stuff. So there's another reason people don't, they're weak in the faith, because a lot of us did not know this when we were children. And the things that we have to unlearn make it very difficult for us to learn the things that we have to learn. What else we got here? Let's go here to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to get stuck just on this weak in the faith stuff. I really don't want to. We got time. We're doing all right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. You just read all those verses down there, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way down to that thing. These people are weak in the faith because they can't handle this stuff. But see, that's obvious stuff. We've gotten to the point now we realize that that's obvious. Yeah, I mean, how do you argue? Look at chapter 5, verse 13, 14, 15. That's more the obvious stuff. There's nothing weak in the faith about these things. That's just what it says. One of the sermons I'm saving for the conference is, I've kind of dealt with it before, but maybe not so much like this time, is Paul's teachings really meat? It really isn't meat. It's not that tough of stuff. So we see look at verse 15. "For some already turned aside after Satan." Maybe this is why they're weak in the faith. I mean, they're doing these things. They're dressing this way. They're acting this way. They go off to careers. They go off to work. And they come home and they're tired. They come home and they've been wrong all day. They blaspheme the word of God when they go off to work like that. They're following Satan. I don't understand verse 15 why they would. I mean, I know situations. I know it gets to a point where you have to. I realize all that. God's grace. I know. And here we're talking about various ladies, young women, married, bear children, guide the house. I just think that's a terrible thing. If you got kids, you need to drop them off at the care center and go to work, for example, or whatever. And that's turning aside after. So my point is this: if this is what takes place, then this could be a very strong reason why a lady, or even the husbands, are weak in the faith. They're doing this game. Look at chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. There's people that are more concerned about bodily exercise than they are godliness. Maybe this is why they're not getting the spiritual stuff. Maybe this is why they can't handle these disputational small things. Maybe this is why they can't even handle the big stuff. They're more concerned about their bodily exercise, their looks, their appearance, their pride, their hair, their face, their everything they get into. And the time it takes for all that stuff, you could have popped a couple of good chapters in there. Maybe you might learn a few things. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're caught up in that fleshly, prideful part of life. Possibly why they're weak in faith. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Well, maybe they aren't giving attendance to it. Yeah, that's too obvious. In verse 15, I think I said right, 3:15 and 16, 15. Meditate upon these things. Well, maybe people don't meditate on them. Do you ever just take the time to think about some of the things you've read and some of the things you believe in? Some of the arguments you're having, some of the issues you're having in life, do you meditate on what's going on? How am I going to do this when it pops up again? What am I going to say next time because I didn't get it right this time? And you think of these things. And then 16, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. You know, stand strong, stay in there, and at least you won't be the one weak in the faith. But just remember, you will be up against someone who's weak in the faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. You said 9:30, right? 7:30, 9:30. Okay, well, we'll be all right. A lot of stuff here, though. I don't know how a guy can do a sermon for 20 minutes on two verses and then go home and collect his salary. Of course, we do 50,000 verses here, and there is no salary. So what's the point? I mean, that doesn't matter. Website folks are helping. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Here's something else that could keep a person from being strong in the faith. Is these guys get this tremendous love for money. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Erred from the faith. So they're from it. They may not even have the faith. They've erred from it. It came from being saved. So there's a lot of things here that we have to remember, and we're talking about people, and I'm sorry to say, it's within the brethren, and it's within our homes, it's the people that we know that are not geared anymore for rightly dividing the Bible. And as a result, somebody pops on them, if they're talking about some appearance or apparel, or language, or places that, things they do, or places they go, or whatever it is, they can't handle the conversation because they're weak in the faith. And they just can't handle it. But this chapter is not about those things. This chapter is about the small things. Doubtful disputations. Go back to verse 2, Romans chapter 14, verse 2. There was a long introduction on the faith, in the faith, to speak in the faith, and not to doubtful disputations. Long stuff. Oh, another one I had in there was not rightly dividing. You know, not rightly dividing your Bible. You're not capable of figuring anything out with your Bible. But anyway. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Why would he say who is weak? Because you can eat all things. You can go back to Leviticus chapter 11, you get into the details of the hoofed or the non-hoofed. But see, you get into Acts chapter 10, where Peter had that dream and realized he could eat anything out there. And then when he came down, when that thing was all over, he even knew he could talk to Gentiles. Isn't that weird? I mean, that was not even on... I don't think there was a Gentile on the sheet. Just, here's all these bugs, animals and stuff, and God says, don't, you know, you can eat this stuff. And Peter says, I can't eat that stuff. And God says, eat this stuff. Don't call common. And then he comes down, the first thing he does, he goes and talks to the Gentiles. I always thought that was kind of an odd thing. But you can. 1 Timothy chapter 4 tells us that if you're going to tell somebody they can't eat meat for spiritual reasons... That's what that's about. It's a doctrine of the devil. Then it's wrong. So we know that. Now, some people shouldn't eat meat for physical reasons. Some people, it just doesn't help them any. It hurts them, that kind of a thing. But he does say, listen, now here's one of the disputations. Here's one of the things that you don't need to really squabble over with somebody who is weak in the faith. Because, see, one believeth that he may eat all things. The other one is weak. And he eateth herbs. Probably could just tell the guy, if you don't you have a hamburger pretty soon, you won't be so weak. But that's not what he's getting at here. Verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. You know, there we are. Now, let's pop that into some other issues in the church or within the neighborhood or within your church family that something is wrong. And they're blatantly wearing something wrong. They're blatantly acting wrong. They're blatantly... They're probably blatantly, some of them aren't even saved. Some of them are blatantly, you know what I'm saying? It's just not wrong. Now, it's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this little eating situation. This is a doubtful disputation. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Then you got the other guy. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God had received him. Just a quick comment there for somebody. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Here's another one. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Another small thing. You know, complain about somebody else's worker. You're not the boss. Don't worry about it. It's not your problem. You want to make it a problem? Go talk to the boss. But who are you to judge another man's servant? Or in somebody else's family or whatever. You go where you want with that stuff. My point is pastors are taking this chapter and they're throwing this on us for the serious things in life that are going on in churches that should be judged. And they should be stopped. Mm-hmm. And you should despise what's going on inside your church doors. You should despise that. Somebody brings in a keyboard and a rock music thing, you better despise that. If somebody makes a decision within the church that really, you know, it's just, whether it's a scriptural thing or not or whatever, but it's gonna unedify the people, you should despise that. You can't go to Romans chapter 14 and have them pull this on you. This chapter is about doubtful disputations. And I'll tell you what, music is not a doubtful disputation. It's a serious thing. Okay, number 5. Now, this is a big one. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay? But remember, we're talking about the little things. We learn, we grow. Philippians 1:9, we learn to grow in judgment. We learn to make calls later on in life. First time somebody gets saved, getting to the next verse, they're going to have a hard time trashing Christmas. I mean, it's just like, whatever. But which we'll see in verse 6, he that regardeth the day, this special day of his, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. Okay, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and give God thanks. So, if a special day is a day for you, and you can give God the glory for it above all the other days, and God says, there you are. This is in your mind. This is your thing. This is a small thing. These are not the big things. These are not the t-shirts. These are not the shorts. These are not the men and the jeans. These are not the bad jobs. These are not the video games that are wrong. These are not the music that's in your home. This is not what we're talking about here. You know, well, that video is wrong to them, but it's not wrong to us, so we can have it. No, that's the serious thing right there. Mm-hmm. You can pop in a church dressed like that. That's wrong. There's no doubtful disputation about it here at all. I despise that. I don't want my kids to see that. I don't want to see that. And I know what that's going to do to the church. I mean, we're to despise those things. Anyway, back to the dispensational stuff here. Okay, if you're not going to do Christmas and you can still give God the glory, then fine. My point is, as much as Christmas is a tough time, it seems like, we get so hyped up for holidays and families and things, that if you really want to study out Christmas and you just look at all the facts of Christmas, you can't do it unto the Lord. I mean, you just can't. It's a pretty holiday, it's fine, everything, but as far as Scripture goes, okay, so then you've come to that point in your life. But it might take somebody else 5 years to get to that point. This is one of those things that you don't squabble over. He says in verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The things that we're doubtfully disputating about, because nobody really can pin all this stuff down necessarily, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. And if you think that the Lord is not happy with this, then you don't do that. And if you think the Lord is okay with this from what you've learned, then it's okay. It's all about Him. And again, this carries over into the big issues. Is the big issue about you? No, it's not about you. It's about, are you pleasing God? If you believe you're pleasing God in that, then wear that. If you believe you're pleasing God and to go into that activity where the music is stinky and there's beer and there's all this stuff going on and somebody wants you to go there, no, you don't go there. That's a decision you make. You don't go there. Just because this guy's got it purposed in his mind that it's okay to go to the bar, you know from the scriptures or from you've learned, that's not a doubtful disputation. That's just somebody who's weak in the faith. I think in some cases, weak in the brain, if they say they're a Paul guy. But we're doing it for the Lord. The Lord does not want you going to those places, then that's what you say. The Lord wouldn't want me to be there. Amen. Now sometimes you got to do their floors. Okay? Then you go there and you do their floor. But you're not worshiping the... I mean... It's just amazing how we can't figure these things out. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the living and dead. But why dost thou judge thy brother? There it is. That's the big one. All the things that are going on in our churches. Who are you to judge somebody else? Aren't you glad they're there? No. Not dressed like that. Not acting like that. Not letting their kids do that. No, I'm not glad they're there. That can't be. See, what that is that's a bridge to the philosophy of let's back off the judgment within our church family because we want more of the community to get involved. That's great commission. That's ecumenical. And if a person's going to push that sort of a thing, that's where they're headed. It's a scriptural reason right there to withdraw. Anyway, why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set it not thy brother? Okay, this is over the disputable stuff. Eating meat or not. Having a holy day or not. That's what these things are about. Verse 10 still. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's true. We know that. Mm-hmm. So, if we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then we've got to make that decision. Am I going to hang around this particular situation, this particular person, this particular place, this particular church, this particular job, this particular thing, knowing that these people don't know any different? I should be able to deal with that, as we say down here in verse 19, I think it is. We'll get to that in a minute. But if you're around a place where we know better, and it's going downhill, or there's rebellion going on, you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ for how come you stayed there? How come you stayed around it? Because it always drags you down. You don't lift it up. Our judgment seat of Christ is still at stake here. We have to decide, is something a doubtful disputation, leave it alone, or is it a serious enough of an issue that we deal with it? Mm-hmm. That's the question here. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Well, sure. So, are we going to want to go to this judgment seat and have to explain why we thought that was a doubtful disputation? Or whatever. Now let me show you an interesting thing. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Romans chapter 14:11 says, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, everybody's going to say that. Mm-hmm. See, we've already said that. If we're saved. Now, go back to Romans 14 again, verse 11. We see in verse 11, again, there it is, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Confess what? So that everyone shall give account of himself to God. He says, every one of us. So the brethren, we will be giving account of ourself. What's that? Those are our works. That's the stuff we've done. That's the judgment seat of Christ. But if you go back to Philippians, those people have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it'll be too late. But they'll admit it. Yeah. I never saw that till this afternoon, by the way. Mm-hmm. Every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Your account, what you've done. That's where the judgment seat. That's where your works will come in. Not your sins, but your works. and the lost world will have to confess that he's Lord. Yeah. And it'll be too late. Okay, let's keep going here. And here's probably the best verse of all here, these verses tonight. So I hope you're all out there to hear this thing. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Okay. That's very important. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. That takes me back to verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Now let's put that in the context of this verse 14. Because we're going to have somebody that's going to try to tell you that what you're doing, this boggles my mind, but they will try to get you to think that what you're doing is, they won't use this phrase, but it's just what they mean. That's too Christian-y. That's too modest. You're being too soft. You're doing too right. So that person is judging the person who believes they're doing right. Instead of us despising the person that's not doing right because we believe what is right, they are judging us because they don't think what we're doing is right or is right enough. Does that make sense out there? There's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay? Why would you want to argue about somebody that say something is not clean? Well, yes. If you think that's the wrong thing, fine. I'm glad to see somebody's trying to have some kind of standards as compared to coming up to somebody and saying, well, you know what? That's just too clean. That's just too Christian-y. You can't dress like that. That's too much. You can't not go there. It's not that bad of a place. You can go there. You're being too much of a Christian. You should be able to go into that place. The crowd you hang around. Your standard's too high for the crowd you want to hang around. I can't imagine trying to lower somebody's standards based on Romans. And that's what they do. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now remember, this meat is referring to not just the meat of doctrine. This is referring to meat. The actual cow parts, pig parts, whatever. And this is disputational stuff. This whole chapter is talking about doubtful disputations. So if somebody's bothered with some tiny little thing, some this little issue about meat, okay, then don't throw it in his face. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. And it also says, verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. And I know I've heard people say, then, you know, you shouldn't be that way when you're around those other people. No, it says right here, let not your good be evil spoken of. You haven't changed your good. You haven't changed what you're doing is right. You're still going to do right. You're still maintaining your testimony. But you're going to be in some fashion not cause this brother to be stumbled. Keep in mind, we're talking about disputational stuff. It's the small stuff. You've got a world that is just perverted, crooked, immodest, mouthy. Roles are mixed up back and forth, and they're full of roles. And if you're going to go out in that world, do you want to look just like them, act just like them, do the same thing they do, so you don't stick out and cause them to be offended? See what I'm saying? No, you don't want to do that. But you can't go to Romans chapter 14 and say, yeah, but if you do that, you're going to offend them. And you're not supposed to do that. No, Romans 14 is about dispensation, disputational stuff, the small stuff. No, if you're going to go out in that world, you look, act, and dress, talk like a Christian. Yes, you will stick out. Yes, it would cause somebody some problems because some people don't even like it. You show up in a skirt, they give you that weird look. You have long hair, they already know that you're one of those holiness people or whatever. But that's not what we're talking about here tonight. Then let not good be evil spoken of. And I've heard it say, okay, well then don't go out there and be so goody-goody. Don't go out there and be so goody-two-shoes. Don't wear that out there. Don't go there. Don't not go to this thing. Go with us to this thing. So it's got a few problems in there. Don't let your good, you know, don't be such a goody person. You can go to those things with us. No, I can't. No, I can't. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, look back at verse 15. We want to be acceptable to God and approved of men. But that you if you want to be approved of the men, the lost world out there, you're not going to be approved of Christ. You're not going to be acceptable to God if you're going to be approved of the lost world like that. Look at verse 15. It starts off with, But if thy brother be grieved, 16, let not then, you're good, 17, for the kingdom of God, 18, for he that in these things, grammar lesson here, let us therefore, see how that therefore ties in verses 15, 16, 17, and 18? Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Now let's go back to our church situation, the brethren. Remember, this is all about brethren. And something comes into the room. Something takes place. There's something that's being spoken. There's somebody dressed a certain way. There's something the way kids are acting. There's something the way two ladies are acting. There's something the way the men are acting or talking or whatever's going on. Or just something's going on. And you don't want to be part of that. You've got something within your own family, your friends, among your little clique, your little circle. There's things that are going on, the way they dress. You want to have lunch with them, but they're all going to be loud, immodest, whatever. And somebody throws this at you. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Okay, go ahead. Go to the bar with them. Just don't make a ruckus. Go ahead. Let them do that stuff in the church. Just don't make a fuss about it. No, that is not what this chapter is about. This is about disputational stuff, doubtful disputations. Little things that take place, don't worry about it. This is what he's telling us in this chapter. If we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 18, Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay. Some of the things that are starting to take, or I shouldn't say, some of the things that have taken place in our churches over the last 10, 15, 20 years, somebody should have put their foot down and said no. But didn't want to cause the trouble. What's the other? There's a verse in Proverbs that says one of the things God hates is a divider. What does he call it? What's that? How's that verse go? Causes division among the brethren, I think it is. So for you to say no to the music, well, then you're the one causing division. No, I didn't cause any division. You're the one that brought in the bad music. If somebody would have said no to how somebody dressed in church a year ago or a couple years ago or whatever, it wouldn't be worse today. If somebody would have nipped in the bud what little kids were doing when they're 2 and 3 and 4 in the church, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing when they're 9, 10, 11. But see, in the process, you wouldn't be doing something that's making for peace. And this is the verse they'll throw you. So now we see that, now we can see that even rightly divided people, rightly dividing King James Bible believing people, can go into some legitimate chapters and still use them incorrectly. If you can't live peaceably with a certain situation or someone or certain thing, and you hang around that thing, your testimony is going out the window. Your testimony is going to go out the window. I don't care. Your reputation is going. You're heading towards ecumenicalism. You don't want to be part of that. You're not taking a stand. You're not making a proper witness because everybody else that sees that who's watched you, and now they see you participating in that thing. That used to be false, but now I see that it's true. I really believe that's why most people don't want Bible-believing stuff anymore. Church, they got their little religion, and the Bible-believing guys are messing with some. They're playing along, and they shouldn't. They want to take a stand. It hurts the church attendance. It hurts things. Now, it doesn't even matter now what Bible you have. Oh, I got an email today from our guy down in Alabama, the pastor down in Alabama. And he said, you wouldn't believe what they're now what they're mad about. I tell you this one. He wrote back and said, you wouldn't believe what they're mad about now. I said the other day in church, we need to start going through our hymn book and straightening out some of the verses in the hymn book. And he says, you would think I'd again after their Bible. Because now they say, well, and he says, these folks said some scary things. We don't care what the Bible teaching is. We like that song. We don't care. I mean, he was like, what's this all about? Well, welcome to the next thing you get into is you start recognizing you're singing some things that are not true. So, what does he do? Does he leave it alone? Because what he's doing right now is not making for peace within his church. Bringing in Paul didn't bring in any peace into our church. Putting some teachings on parents didn't bring any peace to those parents. So this chapter is not for the big things. This is for the small stuff. Look at verse 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. And in this case, we're talking about meat. Chewy meat. Not the tough Bible stuff. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. You don't want to rub it in their face, you cause a problem. I understand all that. And yet, if you try to put some strength, truth into this thing, you suddenly become an enemy. The more abundant you love, the less you're loved. The more you try to do right, the less you're loved. The more you try to do right, you become an enemy. Family. Church family. And you look at this, I was thinking, all these things. Look at Paul. Look at the strife that Paul brought everywhere he went. Look at the things he tried to teach with all the love he could muster. Look at how he tried to do right, say right. He was unblameable in the whole spiel, and look at how they treated him. So we cannot look to Romans chapter 14 as the big book for all the big things that are going on that are not right. This is just a doubtful disputational chapter. That's all this is. He says in 21, It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby any brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So that's a good thing. But these are not serious things. And I like this. You know, we always talk about the liberty in Christ, the strings, about causing somebody to stumble, but there's another one, to offend them. Another one is to make them weak. Well, what if they're easily offendable? Is it a doubtful disputation? Is it a small thing? Don't worry about it. Is it a big thing? You stand what's right. And you stand with what's right. Then he says for the conclusion, verse 22, hast thou faith? Yeah. You got his faith? Yeah. You want to do right? Right? And you're going to be around these disputational things, these little things. He says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. What did he allow? He allowed that guy not to have a hamburger and not make a fuss. He allowed that. Did he feel bad because he didn't have one? No. He allowed himself that disputational little scene right there to not get a big fight going. He allowed himself to be part of that. And don't worry about it. He says, happy is he that condemneth not himself. Don't condemn yourself in that thing which he alloweth. But again, this is disputational stuff. This is not immodesty. This is not a blatant immodesty. This is not bad language. This is not dirty stories. This is not gossip. This is not having to be with somebody that you don't want to be with because of all these other different things. You can't pull that verse out of Romans 14 and throw that at them. This is not for the abusers. This is, there's liberty, of course there's liberty, and it gets right down to it. What's the one thing Paul says to do? Yes, we have grace. Yes, we do have mercy. Yes, we do have long suffering. Yes, we do have patience. But after a while, he says, you've got to say something. And after a while, you've got to say something again. And if that doesn't work, out you go. And Paul is very clear that that doesn't take very long to go through that process. Because if it's wrong, it's wrong. You say something, and then you get out of there. This is not, and you're not judging anybody. You're standing for what is right. Yeah, just leave it at that. So there you go. Romans 14, I mean, that's... we got a couple seconds here. Let's go to Romans 14. Let's just read Romans 14 one time. Let's just read through the whole... Now that we realize that this is not talking about the big stuff, this is the disputational stuff. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubt for disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. I could do a sermon on that thing still tonight, that verse right there. For God hath received him. People trying to tell you that you're doing something just too good. That disturbs me. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, so the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. I always find that's an interesting thing too. Thank the Lord for me not eating this. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We belong to him. This is all about him. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, good verse, but just keep in mind, this is disputational stuff. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Okay? That's our works. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. There's no way this can be referring to the big things that Paul teaches in Timothy and Titus. It just can't. Otherwise, what's the point? There would be no reason, no point whatsoever to do anything else as far as what Paul preaches and teaches if all we have to do is let everybody do the thing they're going to do and don't make a fuss about it. Because he tells us to stand, he tells us to speak, he tells us to exhort, and then from such withdraw. Then let not your good be evil spoken of. So keep doing good. That means it's taking place in the process. They're still seeing the good that's there. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. This is why you're doing it. You're serving Christ. It's sad that you're not approved of men, but that's the way we are these days. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Then he also says, but if you can't live peaceably, then deal with it. Say something and get out. For meat destroy not the work of God. You're not going to destroy the work of God by getting out because something's wrong. This is the small things. It's not a small thing that people deal with. If people, like Mrs. Bowers taught me one time, my principal, if people would have pulled those kids out of the public school over the curriculum that was being taught, the school board would have listened, and they wouldn't have bought the curriculums. But they didn't do that. So you've got to say something, then you've got to get out. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. You allow somebody else to do a small little thing, not a problem. But you don't allow them to do the big thing without you dealing with it for yourself. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And this whole thing is talking about faith, that you're trusting God's teachings, how to deal with these things. And if you have a problem with something, and it's worth a and it is wrong, and it's a seriously wrong thing, then and you participate in that thing, then yeah, that's not good. But if it's just a small thing, don't worry about it. It's just what he says. You got your small things coming up too, your judgments, your just doubtful disputational stuff. And if the person's weak in the faith, he's not going to get it anyway. So we just know that people are weak in the faith anyway, and they can't even handle the obvious stuff. That is wrong, the way things are going on in our church today. Anyway, there you go.